Oh, grace, mercy, and peace to you
from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The still small voice of trumpets. Boy, that statement sort of has a dichotomy, doesn't it? The still small voice of trumpets. 50 years ago, I read a science fiction novel by Dr. James Blish. And Dr. Blish taught music, history and music theory at the University of Michigan. But anyone who writes science fiction and has a doctorate of music, in my book, is okay. I don't know why. But the thing is, he also was a devout Roman Catholic, and he put Christian concepts in all of his science fiction books. You know, it doesn't say the word Christ, but you can go through. Now, here's the story, okay? Galactic Federation was trying to find all of the colonies of people that had been gone out there before the really fast space travel had happened. And they found this world, okay? This world had forgotten where they came from. But they had a prime directive that for a planet to enter into the Galactic Federation, they had to be a democracy. And you remember I've talked about Thomas Paine's statement in here many times from Common Sense and Revolution, democracy imposed from without is the worst form of tyranny. So in other words, democracy has to be brought in, not forced on. Make sense? And so in this center they have the Galactic Federation, that's on every wall. All right, so he's got to figure out how to get this country or this world to become a democracy. Well, how do you do that? Because they also have a prime directive like Star Trek that you can't interfere publicly. All right, so what does he do? All right, here's the problem. The planet was unified under an emperor who was all-powerful and had no checks or balances on him. Think of Stalin, Hitler, and you got it. The people were unified in their love of art and music. In fact, they were a culture that lived in the arts. Of course, it's written by a guy who had a doctorate in music. Of course, it's going to be that way. But the main instrument was a form of a huge harp called a tor. And the greatest musician on the planet who played the tor was also called Tor because he was synonymous with the instrument. So he's doing a royal concert for the emperor. And the emperor either was offended by something that somebody said to him, or he was angry. So what he did after Tor got a standing ovation, was great, he sent his soldiers out, they pulled his arm out, took a sword, cut his arm off. That's what the emperor would do to people that offended him. Well, he plays the harp, he can't play it anymore. He's lost his livelihood. And since he's not perfect, see, remember, this is a culture that celebrates art, he had to go to a ghetto for the people that the king had cut off their arms. He did this a lot. All right. That crowd took a huge gasp when that happened, and it was dead silence. All right, so the Federation representative is thinking, hey, I can figure this out. So he takes, straps his arm up here so he looks like he only has one arm, covers it up, and goes, talks to Tor, and he says, listen, I've got something that could help you. Let me bring it in. So he brings in a trumpet, okay? And Tor looks at him, what's this thing? And so the guy picks it up and blows a note on it. And Tor's like, what do you expect me to do with this? He said, because you can play it with one hand. Put it down. Tor walks away from it. Well, just like anything else, Tor played the tor. That's what he did. And he couldn't see himself doing something different. He had to play the tor. He couldn't play the tor. You know, you can see what's going on inside. So finally, he picks up the trumpet. And instead of playing it in Western style music we have, he made it fit the way the scale was used on the tor. so that's different. Then he took it to the metal artisans there and said, listen, make me one of these that's beautiful. So they make this complicated, complex instrument with all this beauty on it, and he learned to play it. Well, since he was sitting there making this trumpet speak, you know, you're not going to play trumpet without everybody knowing you're playing trumpet. So people say, well, I want to learn how to play this. So what happens is he starts making like a trumpet choir. They work out all this stuff, and it's beautiful. And then they started adding things, like if you've ever seen like the U.S. Army's Herald trumpets, you know, they have the flags and they bring it up. That's what they did when they performed. So they leave the ghetto, which never happens, because they're not perfect, remember. And they go around the world playing, and the world is taken by storm to this beauty. So guess what happens? The emperor says, I demand a royal concert. And so these people go in, and they play. Except the emperor sees that these are all one-handed men, one-armed men, that he had sent to the ghetto. And so his evil was thrown right back in his face. So he outlaws the trumpet. You can't do it. The people started a revolution. You don't do that to people who love art. And the trumpet players were told, see, they're just going to go back to the ghetto because they're out. No, you play. And so the still, small voice of trumpets led this revolution. Now, I was really lucky a few years later. You know, I taught, of all things, science fiction at Western New Mexico University. Taught in English department. They knew I had an interest in it. I got to be friends with the chairman. And he says, why don't you teach a class? And sure, I had 60 people in this class. And this was one of the books we required reading. You know, it doesn't hurt to make them have a Christian concept. A few years later, I happened to see an interview with James Bliss, where the guy was a Christian and said, would you explain the Christian concepts? And he said, sure. All right, let's look at this for a second. We have the emperor that is evil, right? He is under the control of Satan. Make sense? Okay. Then, the galactic representative is the person who comes to him. He is the Holy Spirit. And today we're dealing with the coming of the Holy Spirit in our readings. Okay. Torah couldn't conceive of anything different. But you remember, I've mentioned this in here before, Pope John 23rd said, when God closes a door, he opens a window. So here's his window. He gave him a trumpet, said, learn it. And he did. And he turned it into something that nobody expected. So when the Torah was taken away from him, he was given a trumpet. Now, in his mind, he couldn't do it. Remember I told you that? But when he starts to do it, all of a sudden, there's this beautiful change because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in his life. All right, so he goes and they throw out this ugliness to the emperor who created it, but it's been turned into something beautiful. So the Holy Spirit is confronting Satan's emissary. Of course, Satan tries to win. What happens? He loses in the end. You know, it's when we start looking at things like this, a book doesn't have to talk about Jesus to be about Jesus. You with me? Okay. You know, the Harry Potter thing came out a few years ago. Now, I enjoy the books, okay? One of the great Baptist theologians said, aren't you going to say this bad? He said, why? He said, good wins. Thinking about it, and it is. You know, however we come out with things that are good, why is that wrong? And the other thing, there's subtle things in there like Happy Christmas. It's there, okay? But it's not shoved down your throat and your face. Important things. the thing is, Tor had to change, didn't he? And how did he change? Because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Holy Spirit, I really think, helps us in our weakness, and he intercedes for us. The Spirit, you know, serves as a teacher, a counselor, comforter, strengthener, an inspiration, revealer of the Scriptures, convincer of sin, caller of ministers, and the intercessor in our prayers. It's the Spirit who brings the conviction of faith to the unbeliever and causes him to see the truth of the gospel in a clear light. Those who respond to this conviction and place their faith in Jesus Christ receive eternal life and a new nature. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That new nature comes from God. The Holy Spirit unites the believer with Christ and places him, I think, in the body of Christ, the church. He also unites the believer with Christ in his death. If we were executed with him and died with him, we will also be resurrected with him. And that enables him to live victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. The Holy Spirit controls the believer, us, who yields to God and submits himself to God's word. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And who leads us to that? The Holy Spirit. I cannot by my own reason or faith know my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But I have been called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. That says it, doesn't it? I have been called. Just like he calls ministers, he calls each one of you too to be a believer. So, my dear Christian friends, if you're down and looking for a way up, just remember, the Spirit does not come to us with a shout, but with that still, small voice of a trumpet. And may this small voice of the Spirit keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen and hallelujah.